Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of Khadim India Limited, organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Today on this call, we have the promoter of Khadim India Limited, Mr. Siddharth Roy Burman, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ritik Roy Burman, Whole-time Director, Ms. Namrata Chaudhary, CEO, Mr. Indrajit Chaudhary, CFO. Just before we start the call, I'd like to give a small disclaimer that this conference call may contain forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties which are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is also added in the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website as well. I hope everybody had a chance to go through the presentation and the press release. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Siddharth Roy Burman.
Namaskar, everybody. Good evening. We welcome you to the conference call to discuss the fourth quarter result for the financial year 2021-2022. Hope everyone continues to be safe. We started fourth quarter on a strong footing, carrying growth momentum from the third quarter, in which we recorded our highest EBITDA margin during past 2 years. However, the third wave of COVID caused by Omicron variant and ensuing lockdown disrupt the recovery in retail industry again. In January, the footwear industry has also witnessed GST rate hike from 5% to 12% footwear priced below ₹1,000. Inflationary pressure across the spectrum led to slowdown in demand. Despite facing headwinds, we are encouraged by our performance, which has delivered growth as per our strategic initiative. We roped in India cricketer Shardul Thakur, who plays with Delhi Capital in the IPL, as our brand ambassador. The association was launched with the campaign, Wow, it's Khadim's. We highlighted the new fashionable range of products, the refreshed in-store experience, and reinforced the affordable price point. The Trinity will deliver the delightful Wow It's Khadim's experience to consumers. We continue to strengthen our retail presence in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities and open 22 new retail stores during the quarter. The retail store count now stands at 782 stores. The distribution network has increased to 627. Coming to our performance for the quarter, sales for Q4 FY22 stood at 156 crore and these did not include any institutional business as compared to 269 crores in Q4 21, which includes 110 crores institutional business. Next point, gross margin at 37.6% has improved by 1530 BPS year on year. Retail business continued in improving trajectory with gross margin up from 47.6% in Q4 FY21 to 52.2% in Q4 FY22. EBITDA stood at 12.8 crores with an EBITDA margin of 8.2%. In quarter four, we recorded PAT rupees 2.6 crores and cash PAT of rupees 10.3 crores. We are encouraged by our full year performance in which we have delivered a significant turnaround and recovered to profitability for this fiscal 2022. Revenue was 591 crore, slightly lower than 626 crores in FY21, which includes rupees 110 crores from institutional business. Retail business has grown by 15% and distribution business has grown by 13% year on year. Gross margin improved significantly to 37.2%, which an increase of 840 basis points from 28.8% FY21. Retail and distribution gross margin stood at 53.3% and 35.4% respectively. FY22 EBITDA stands at rupees 47.8 crores, a slightly higher from 3.3 crore in FY21. We turned profitable by clocking a PAT of rupees 6.5 crore as compared to loss of 33 crores in the previous year. Our strategic marketing initiative, product improvements, price hikes leading to improved margins, brand campaigns have all contributed towards the improving trajectory in the company's performance. We aim to build upon the growth momentum generated this year to deliver value for all stakeholders. Thank you very much.
So should we open for Q&A? Hi, members of the management.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, wanted to understand this retail franchisee sales has improved quite good. After declining for 3 years, it has grown at 26%. But still, it is 67% of FY18 franchisee sales. So do we expect sharper growth over next 2 to 3 years?
So we're looking at growing the franchisee business approximately by 12 to 15% on a year-on-year basis. We're looking at expanding, the number of stores by around 60 to 70 stores, and with the hope that the SSG will also be growing by around 6 to 7%.
Okay. So this is post that our installation of the sales software and earlier we were doing some inventory cut down, right? So those things are restoring back, right?
Yes, I mean, so we done the inventory through the theory of constraints model. When there's regular replenishment of the stock based on the movement of the particular item, so there's norm sets in the stores based on the performance of each item based on which replenishment happens. And in case of the new introductions, that happens, based on certain number of pairs per item is sent to the stores, and based on their performance, again, replenishment happens. So I think that model still continues with our CEO and franchisee.
Okay. And last 2 years, our COCO stores addition has come down. So are we seeing store additions increasing and sales per COCO store also, is it on the anvil of growing good in the next 2-3 years?
So the number of COCO reduced number of COCO addition has been a conscious decision because the last 2 years have been tough owing to COVID. So we were looking at consolidating our P&L and balance sheet by focusing largely on you know, improving our existing profitability and asset-light expansion. But in this financial year, we're looking at expanding the COCO stores by 10 to 12 stores.
10 to 12, okay.
Balance will be through franchisee.
Okay, okay. And what is the reason for sharp increase in inventories this year?
So that has largely been owing to you know, on the distribution side. So actually last year you saw that the sales also was relatively low on both retail distribution. This year the sales also has improved, and which is why the, you know, we were stocking up because we were expecting a good Chaitra sale and Eid sale and the discount, which is why the stock is relatively high. On the distribution side, actually, we have been stocking up because, you know, there has been volatility in supply of raw material owing to the, you know, the geopolitical situation. So, and also there has been a lot of fluctuation in prices. So we have stocked up a certain amount of raw materials, which is why I'm seeing a little higher, you know, WIP or stock inventory.
Okay, so when do we expect that to get to normalize?
Within I think by Q2 end, hopefully, because this Q1 you will again, we are stocking up for the festive. We are hoping for a good festive, so I think that, and that's normal if you see in last few years, Q1 and Q2 generally the stock is higher for festive, and then it tapers down by Q2 end of Q3.
And one thing is that in 21 stock level was down because we were keeping lower stock due to this COVID thing. So that is also a suboptimal level. So that means the level should be at 150, 152 close at a normal level.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay, so lastly from my side, this anti-dumping duty on PU. So what is the kind of impact we are seeing in our kind of products? So what is the proportion of PU in terms of our products?
It will impact PU leather. There is a lot of, means in our retail products, that is around 60% of the product is this PU synthetic leather. So that will impact, but it is around 0.46 USD. So that will be around 2-3 rupees increase in the purchase price. So that the vendor, when they are purchasing the raw material, will include in their PP.
Okay, okay. So we are not seeing much impact over there.
So there will be slight price rise by them, but that will, because it has just recently come in. So when the next time when we are making the price negotiation, that will be taken care of.
Okay, okay, okay. So full year, what kind of price increase we have taken during FY22?
So on the distribution side, we have taken approximately 20-22%. The price increase that has happened, that's the ASP increase that has happened. And on the retail side, we have seen approximately a 16-17% increase in ASP, which will be driven both by premiumization and price increases. So I think it will be partially price increase, partially premiumization.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with regards to the demand conditions. I mean, while we understand that, you know, the demand was impacted in the Q4 due to the Omicron impact in the January, and because of which both the retail and the distribution sales were impacted, but how it's trending now in the Q1?
Q1 has been relatively positive. Footfalls are coming back. It's not still back to pre-COVID levels, but we are seeing an improvement in sentiment at the store level. We are also seeing, you know, the buying behavior of the consumer going back to normal. So you have a lot of casual shoes, you know, outdoor shoes, sports shoes, formal shoes. For women, you know, they're buying a lot of work wear, they're buying, party wear. So I think the buying behavior is going back to normal because we are also seeing the same representative purchase happening across the sub-brands and in terms of the merchandise categories, across the various merchandise categories. So it has been pretty comforting, the numbers, and we're excited for the balance of the year.
Sure. So just one clarification here. When you said that, you know, it's not back to the pre-COVID levels, so were you referring to the footfalls or you were referring to your sales for your company?
Footfalls.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And my next question is with regards to, you know, the price hike, or you may say, you know, the increase in the RM prices and inflation. How do you see this impacting the demand, especially on the distribution side? Because given, you know, the price increases have been there in a sharp over the last one and a half years. So any impact that you see on that front of the business?
So, yes, there is definitely an impact on volume owing to... you know, owing to the fact that there has been a price increase. It's not, there's not only price increase, it's also GST, which has impacted our business, especially in the distribution side, which is, you know, where 80 to 85% of your SKUs are below 1,000 rupees. So, yes, there has been an impact, and the inflationary impact is visible across the various industries, including FMCG. But what we're trying to do, we're trying to do product innovations. We're trying to, you know, do a lot of value engineering on the products to be able to ensure that the product is still affordable in the hands of the consumer. Because in today's day and age, I mean, the way the raw material price has increased in the last 1.5 to 2 years, we've almost seen a 60 to 70% rise in raw material prices. But that's not the way the, you know, the customer's income has increased, right, at the ground level. So one has to be, accepting of the fact that there's that much additional, the lower-end consumer will pay additionally for a basic pair of Hawaii chappals or a basic pair of PVC chappals or a PU chappals. You know, they will pay a premium of like 10, 15, 20 rupees. But if it comes to 40, 50 rupees difference, it does become a challenge in their pocket because they're not buying only for a particular person or themselves. They're buying for the entire family. So we are doing a lot of value engineering. We're working on the various product range to ensure that the product continues to remain affordable in the hands of the consumer, and there's, and the impact of the on volume is minimized.
Sure. And just one last question from my end is in terms of the margins. You know, FY22 has really seen a good smart expansion, or I would say the recovery of the margins, both on the retail and the distribution front. If you can help us out, you know, how much of this is sustainable going ahead and what kind of margins respectively in each of the business can we expect?
So, in our view, the margins are sustainable across the, both the businesses. We're looking at a gross margin growth across both the businesses by around 100 to 150 basis points year on year.
From the FY22 levels, that right?
Yes.
If you can just clarify, like, while the EBITDA margins that have been reported are on a post-Ind AS basis, but if we adjust for the rent, what kind of EBITDA margins would we have done both for the Q4 FY22 and for the full year FY22?
See, in Q3, the EBITDA was 11.5%, and the whole year EBITDA, Q4 EBITDA is 8.24%.
No, sir, I'm asking about, this is the reported number. I'm saying if we, you know, adjust for the rent out of this, I mean the rental charges, because it's a post-Ind AS. So if we adjust for the rental payments, how much would be the the EBITDA margin?
So in Q3, it would be around 7.5%, and in Q4, it would be around 5%.
Okay, sure. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star and 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Varun Gaya from Dimensional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. So I have two questions. firstly, what was the breakup of COCO and FOFO revenues for Q4? Hello.
Varun sir?
Yeah.
Sir, your audio is not coming. There's some static that can be heard from
yeah.
the whole line.
Hello. Now it's clear?
No sir, it's still the same.
Hello.
FOCO is 50 crores and franchise EBO is 40 crores.
50 and 40 crores?
Yes.
And could you provide the volume number of pairs sold for Q4 and full year?
Just a minute.
Q4 is around 8 million, and for the entire year,
8 million, and this is retail.
And retail distribution together, and
okay.
for the total year, it will be around 350 million. 35 million.
And how much would be the distribution volume?
Is 28 million and retail is 7 million.
Okay. And the number of stores which are going to be increased, that would be in which geographies? Like we have been focusing more on different geographies, but overall still a majority of the stores are in the eastern front. So.
No, so I think the new openings will be, we will increase our penetration in the East India. By East you're mentioning, we are referring to Bihar, Bengal, Orissa, Northeast, Jharkhand. So that focus will continue. We're also looking at growing significantly in the northern and the western side of the country through our company-owned outlets and franchisees.
Franchise outlet addition would be how many in next year?
Around 60 to 70.
Oh. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, so firstly, congratulations on a good set of numbers in a challenging environment. I just wanted to ask, is it possible next year can we go back to our aim of 800 crores revenue and maybe a bit of 15%?
Yes, I think 800 crores revenue is something which we should be able to achieve. And in terms of 15%, I think we've been able to do 12% in Q3 FY22, and I think that's something which we're looking at doing for the entire year. That's a larger target, for FY23. Yes, if we're able to get the operating leverage better, we can definitely try doing better. Pre-COVID footfalls get back to normal. Yes, the numbers can be better, but something for this year we are targeting around 12% EBITDA.
Okay, thank you so much. And I also wanted to know, did our volume decrease this year? Because if we had a price hike of more than 20%, then that indicates a decrease in volumes. Could you just quantify if that how much volume have increased or decreased?
So I think there has been an impact on volumes predominantly because Q1 FY22 again there was lockdown, Q3 again there was Omicron, and plus you had a price hike impact. So I think there's been a larger perspective owing to the volume impact, but in
retail there was no volume impact.
Mm-hmm.
It's
true,
there was fine.
In terms of retail, we are almost equal in terms of volume. Distribution also, there's been a very, very minimal decrease in terms of volume. But otherwise, I believe we've done pretty well despite the two lockdowns during the year.
Okay, and just one last question, if I can squeeze in. What kind of price hike do we see in next year, and how much of volume growth will be, if possible, to quantify? Because we are increasing significant stores.
Yeah, so we're looking at approximately 5 to 6% growth in terms of volume. And in terms of price hike, I think it will be it won't be a price hike particularly, it'll be mainly an ASP increase, which will be a function of price hike and premiumization, which will be driven by the sub brands. And so we're looking at approximately a growth of ASP of approximately 7 to 8%.
Okay, that answers all my questions. All the best, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kotari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on the numbers, sir. So my question is based on a working capital cycle. I noticed that it has stretched again, and despite no institutional sales. So can you just elaborate on this?
As you have mentioned already, that the inventory has increased. For that reason, one reason is that due to this raw material crisis, so we have to post to keep some extra raw material. And also in the distribution business, due to the GST impact, there was a volume impact. So there is also increase in stock. And for the, as you know, the first two quarters of the last 2 years, the sales was less, but here we anticipated there would be a Eid sale and a Chaitra sale. So some stocks has been kept. So for that reason, stock has only increased. Debtors we have remained at the same level.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, then the inventory increase, that is same. So it is because of, to mitigate any more price hikes.
Yes, and another thing is that in FY21, the stock level was at the optimal because the first quarter of last 2 years, there was sales was very less. The stock reduced significantly. In a normal level, our stock remains at 150 to 155 crore, but this year it has gone to 167 crore. But after the second quarter, it will be again come down to 155 level.
Okay, okay. And going forward, can you elaborate, like, how do you plan to manage the inventory level?
So we will keep the inventory in case of distribution, we keep an inventory level at a 45 to 60 days and retail at around 90 days.
Okay, and will this be the normal level of working capital days going forward?
Yes, because if the sales comes back to 800 crore level, so we will be having a stock of 150 to 165 crores.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one more. What is the revenue per store that we get from the franchisee stores?
Approximately 60 to 70 lakhs.
Okay, and from the company operated stores?
Around 1.5 crore.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anand, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just had a simple question on your branding strategy. Just wanted to know, have we incurred any higher ad spends due to the collaboration with Shardul Thakur, or are we still at the same level?
Thank you, Anand, for your good words. So I think we have definitely incurred a certain fixed cost to be able to bring him on board and, you know, do the production of content and media with him. But what we are doing is that we are effectively using this content on digital media, focusing on the audience which is targeting the audience which may be more relevant to us, and in the areas where we have a larger presence. So maybe you and I may not be able to see it because we are targeting a certain audience, with a certain demographic, which may be relevant to us, which will help us, which will help increase the footfall in our stores. So we are using the the celebrity face in a way which will be more effective for us in terms of sales and in terms of ROI.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Another question was on your future of the branding strategy. Do we look at any, sort of Bollywood face which would help us in penetrating into other areas since we are planning to go into other regions? Or do you think that's not feasible?
As of now and near term, I don't think that's the plan. I think we're looking at focusing on regional celebrities and regional faces to be able to garner interest and footfalls in the markets that we have, which we are present in and where we have, strength around. I think because along with a Bollywood celebrity comes with a huge amount of fixed costs, and that's not something which we're looking to absorb right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Please keep up with the good work and continue doing so. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
What is our expectation?
Thank you for taking my question again. I just wanted to ask, are we planning for any institutional sales this year? And if yes, then any margin or revenue guidance for that?
As of now, we don't have any plans to do any institutional business this year. We're reducing the choppiness in the business also, and it also reduces the impact on the working capital.
Okay, thank you. And just a clarification question from my end. We are total, how many stores are we expecting to add on this year? 60 to 70 franchisees and 10 to 12 COCO stores, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rishi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for today. I would now like to end the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for your good words and your motivating wishes. Really appreciate your interest in the organization and look forward to your continued support and relationship in the short term, medium term and long term. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kadim India Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.